It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study so far on the subject of God's church, we've looked at several things. But I'd like for us to look once again at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where it says, "And I say also unto thee," and this is Jesus speaking, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Of course, Jesus is the rock, not Peter. Jesus is the foundation, not Peter. Jesus is the one. And I believe that the laid foundation for the church is Jesus Christ as He walked upon this earth. He was the foundation. He is the foundation today. And He's not only the foundation of the church, He's the foundation of our salvation. And that is who the church is made up of, are all those people who have found salvation through Jesus Christ the rock. And we looked at some things, and let me recall to your attention some of these things, and I believe that repetition is good as we go through these studies, and this study in particular, as we're there now and right now in the study of God's church. I believe that we need to be reminded of some things, and I'd like to do that right now once again. Well, we saw that God's church was a visible church. It wasn't invisible. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it talks about the visible church. And we know that they came together on the day of Pentecost, and God added to the church about 3,000 souls on that day. And this was on the day of Pentecost, of course. And this church, of course, was located in Jerusalem. But then we looked at some actions that took place. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." These people were steadfast. They were faithful. They had fellowship one with another. They had one common goal, and I believe that was to help other people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, they wanted to serve God, and the people also remembered Jesus Christ. They had remembered the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord as they went from house to house breaking bread. Well, I believe they ate together, and I believe more importantly than that, they also observed the Lord's Supper during this time of togetherness and time of fellowship. They observed the Lord's Supper, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and verse 46. Well, not only did they remain steadfast and have fellowship and they remembered the Lord, but they prayed. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says that they continued in prayers. Well, then we also looked at some of the attitudes of the people who were there, and one of these attitudes was that they agreed. They continued daily, and this means that they were consistent. They agreed with one another, and as a church, there was no arguing, no backbiting, or disagreement as to who was in charge of His church. Of course, God was in charge. And that's the way it is to be today in God's local churches. He is to be in charge, and if we remember that, then we're not going to have as many problems as we see happening in local churches today. Well, notice also that the people were thankful in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. It says they did eat their meat with gladness. They were happy. They were thankful. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Now, this is speaking, of course, the supper that we call the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. We refer to that many times as the Lord was eating with His disciples there. And as we study these verses, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread," and it tells us in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, "And He blessed the bread and blessed the cup as He gave it, and He gave thanks, and He gave it to His disciples, and they were happy." We see these disciples didn't understand everything that was going on at that time, but they were with their Lord at that time. And no doubt in my mind and in my heart, they were happy to be with their Lord. Well, they didn't really know that within a matter of just a few hours that Jesus Christ would be hanging on a cross. his blood coming out of his body, and that he would die on that cross for the sins of the world. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know that he died for you, but you must receive that. You must receive why he died and what he did for you. That's the reason he died. He's not going to force it on you. You must receive what he wants to give you, and that is eternal life. It comes only through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. Well, notice some people, their attitudes as we look back at the early church. It says they agreed and they were thankful and they also had praise to God. According to verse 47 and Acts chapter 2, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And daily, it says, added to the church. He added to the Jerusalem church, the visible church. And we need to stop and think about that, because there is no such thing as an invisible church. Christ died for the church, for his people. If you've been born again, you need to belong to a local visible church. You need to gather yourself together and realize that God wants you to take part in a local congregation, just as these people were reading about, just as those people did in the early church at Jerusalem. Well, we also looked at some results that took place in this early church. There was fear. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was present and there were signs and wonders done by the apostles. People knew that there was something supernatural taking place, and they really wanted to know what was happening, because there were thousands of people saved because of the reverential fear that came upon them through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, notice also there was unity. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, and all that believed were together. Well, they joined together for the same cause. They were united. And this means that as they gathered together, they drew strength from this. They helped each other grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, they told each other and reminded each other how that the Savior had died. He bled and he died, but he rose again on that third day for them. And we need to uphold each other in this and give each other confidence that one day Jesus is coming back for us as he said he would in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice something else. These people had all things common in the early church. They shared what they had, and God is no respecter of persons. In other words, they shared. They helped each other. More than that, they helped other people as well. They sold possessions. Well, the Bible doesn't say they sold all their possessions, because we read and we study how that people who retain certain things, such as a home or whatever, they use that for the glory of God, by allowing others to come in, and they actually took care of people who came from out of town. We read that in the scriptures. They helped people who didn't have as much as they did, and they gave them a roof over their head, and they gave them sustenance so they could live and so that they could have fellowship with those folks at that local church, in that local church in Jerusalem. Well, because the church helped when needed, they had all things common. They helped each other. They helped others. They gave to all men. First, I believe they gave to those in the church who were in need. And then they went out and they helped other people around that area. The Bible says they went throughout all the world later and they gave out the gospel to everybody. They helped everybody find Jesus Christ as Savior. I believe that when we think about them giving people something, we often think of simply food or something like that. But I believe it goes deeper than that. The most important thing that we can give someone is the plan of salvation. Where will they spend eternity? When we think of this, where will their eternal home be? Will it be in heaven or will it be in hell? These people knew that there was a decision that had to be made. And they wanted people to make right decisions. And that right decision that they should make would be to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Have you received Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior today? Well, these people back in the early church at Jerusalem, they spoke out, and today they speak out through God's Word, and they want you to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And just as they did back in the early church in Jerusalem, they're speaking today through the Word of God. You need to bow your head where you are and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Now, if you're in a car, you can bow your heart without bowing your head, and you can pray and ask God to save you today. If you are saved, you need to do what the early church did. You need to be going out and helping others find Jesus Christ. You need to join yourself with a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching local church where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The early church helped others. The early church was respected. They had favor with all the people, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Well, that doesn't mean that everybody liked them. That means that the people looked and they saw something different. There was something there that they could not refute, that these people were different. And they had in many instances, and these other people would look at the church people and say, I want what they've got. They had favor with the people. The church even had the respect of those who had received Christ as Savior during that time. And these same people possibly are the ones that cried out, crucify Him, just before Jesus was crucified. He can save anybody, and He did back then. Even those people who were against Him in the beginning, they got saved, I believe. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. All of this worked together so that people could be saved. Notice the Lord here. The Lord added to the church. As we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and I've just read that, the Lord added to the church daily. This is the first mention of the word church in the book of Acts. And I want you to know that the Lord added to the church. We do not save souls. The Lord does. We do not add to the church. The Lord does. Programs, music, activities, clubs, fellowship, inviting to the local church building, feeding the poor, helping the needy, and so forth and so on. This does not add to the church, to God's church. However, good those things mentioned are. Only God can add to His church. Nothing should ever take the place or have the preeminence over the preaching of the Word of God. Notice in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, where it says, so as much as in me is, this is Paul the Apostle writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God breathed, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You need to believe the gospel today, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, you need to be giving out the Word of God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.